Hello, Facebook Ads people. I'm Konstantinos, and this is the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Hello, guys. Another podcast with me, your best friend, Konstantinos. And today, we don't have a main topic. Basically, I would like to say, first of all, that maybe I have made one mistake. It's about the Advantage Plus campaigns, guys. I told you that we can use more than 8 now in ad accounts. I have found ad accounts that they cannot use more than 8, and big spend ad accounts that they cannot. Again, I got excited, I guess. And in several videos that I did for 2024, I also said that. So now I'm trying to fix it a little bit with editing or post-it comments. So in some ad accounts, not like this. I hope that it's just going to be a change that Meta is going to roll out eventually to all the ad accounts. And we will all have unlimited Advanced Plus campaigns because this is going to help us scale a lot. Now, about the results. Guys, I'm scaling a lot of ad accounts and the results are very good. But in the last week, in the previous 3-4 days, I'm getting some messages like this one from my friend over here. Hey bro, have you noticed a drop in conversion recently? The past 2 weeks have been dismal for me. No, but guys, there is one thing that I need to clarify here. I have very good and strong ad accounts right now. It's not my portfolio, but let's say the clients that I have right now in the ad accounts are very strong. So maybe smaller ad accounts are struggling. Because I can see more messages like this one, and I'm getting also consulting calls about people not having good results in my ad accounts, not because I'm a perfect advertiser, the perfect advertiser, but because I have now very good clients. Even the clients that I onboarded this month, they are very strong ad accounts. We're doing very well. One last thing that I want to notice here before we go to your questions is that I took one client, he's from Kuwait. I asked his permission yesterday and I'm going to create a video about this. Guys, this was a typical example of an ad account that has a lot of potential, but this person was, first of all, not patient at all. And secondly, he was just scattering the budget across a lot of ad sets and campaigns. So instead of doing one campaign CBO with 100, 120, he was doing ABO campaigns with 20, 20, 20, 20 ad sets and all of that. The moment I sorted out all of this mess and I started running ads with CBO campaigns, everything improved. So one lesson that, and I'm going to make a video because it's going to be nice to be visual, to show it to you. One thing that I want to point out for today is that if you are impatient and if you're scattering your budget so much across ad sets, it's going to be an issue. You're going to have an issue eventually because it means that you're not spending enough every day per assets. The budgets are daily, they are setting daily. So even if you're spending 1,000, 2,000 on a month, if you take all of this budget and you give it among, you distribute it among many assets, that is going to be problematic. So I'm going to make a video. I will show you. Also, I'm going to make a video, guys, with I'm going to show you how I started one ad account that had one ROAS. Now we are on 4 and 5 ROAS. And I'm going to show you how I did it, starting with Advanced Plus. Advanced Plus wasn't working. I did interests. Then I started seeing that this ad account is on Canada. So I was watching that on Canada, I was getting exactly the same cost per purchase that I was getting in the United States, but the average order value in Canada wasn't so good. So it means that initially it didn't have such good quality traffic because the pixel was completely new. And all of that, the whole journey of 3 months on how this ad account now it's super profitable and we're going to start scaling it. And then I'm going to make also another video that I have from an agency, which took one new ad account and new pixel. And they started doing things like link clicks or view content and get sales only from retargeting. But I will show you how bad as a practice is this. I hope, because I'm there now as a stealth player watching, that this company, which didn't give me this specific region and gave it to the agency, they are going to give me this account. And immediately, I'm going to prove to you that doing other style of campaigns over there is going to make the ad account immediately profitable, while the things that they were doing were wrong. It's going to be a very nice video if this happens, but it's not up to me, because we will have to see if the company is going to decide to give me also this ad account. That's all. Let's go to your questions. We have several questions today, and we're going to close with a very nice message from Isabel, which I'm very proud of. Now, let's go. At what kind of ad spend or market share or other metric would you consider bullying your competitors a factor? Now, in the previous year, I told you that one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in the bigger game of doing Facebook ads, and a lot of people can disagree, but I don't give a they can say whatever they want, and they can disagree all around. At the end of the day, we all get criticized on our results, and I'm uploading results, but if they don't upload the results, it's their fault. Because it's very easy to say, I did this and that and that, and just upload some print screens, but I'm uploading videos and the journey on all of that. I'm not just waiting. Do you realize that the previous year, what I have done with the case study of 1 year case study is I took a risk. So let's say that during June or July or August, I was going to have very bad results and I was not going to be able to complete 1 year of scaling another account. I took you through the whole journey on the whole year, taking the risk that it might fail, for example, okay? Coming to you after 6 months that I have done something and telling you that this is what happened, blah, 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 and all of that, it's not okay, I think. Okay, now, Konstantinos, you're doing the same with the video that you're going to do with the new pixel. Yes, because the new pixels are super fragile and you don't know what kind of results you're going to have. But the problem, the issue here is that I don't have any issue, not the issue, the problem, I guess, is that I don't have an issue admitting that I failed in several new pixels and I didn't have good results. So, other than that, let's discuss a little bit about the question, because I got off topic. The thing is this, bullying your competition is one thing that I have realized by playing this product and this ad account is specific. There are not a lot of people that are doing it and that they are selling it basically and manufacturing it. And I must tell you also that I really know all the competition brands, and I know from Meta how much, not how much, that I'm the one that's spending more, and I know the third competitor on the list on how much they spend and what roles they have, because they reached out to me without knowing that I'm working for the leader brand, for the leading brand. So I learned the information, and then I told them that I cannot work with them because I work already with this company and it would be unethical. But first I learned the information. So this is a specific thing that I have realized in this period, and the situation is super specific. Now, if you're selling makeup, for example, you cannot talk about this and say that, okay, let's see if I'm going to bully my competition, how much I need to spend, because there are so many brands that's going to be almost impossible. Is Gymshark, for example, bullying their competition? Yes, because it's actually a very big brand and they are taking very big chunk of the market. But if you're just one person that's spending 100K, 200K, 300K, then it's not a big market share, okay? Specifically in bigger niches and all of that, so that we can talk about bullying competition. It was just a very fascinating theory that I had for this specific brand that I wanted to share with you. But now don't start using it in places that it doesn't apply. For example, in makeup, in supplements. There are million companies. There are so many companies that they are supplement companies that we should not be talking about bullying competition and all of that. Okay, so it was a specific thing. I wanted to share it with you because it's a very interesting theory, but it's not going to apply into massive niches and smaller brands that they are part of massive niches. That's my answer to you. Can we do crazy method with ad set having 4 or 5 creatives, or you recommend only one creative per ad set? No, for sure. Crazy method, basically, as we said, is a scaling method that you can use. And what you can do with crazy method is that you take something that is working and you try to sell more. So if you have an ad set that has 4 or 5 creatives and they're working pretty well, then you can do the crazy method with 4 or 5 creatives. Actually, I will use crazy method either with dynamic creative ads or with an ad that has 3 to 5 creatives, but not more than that. I think it's too much. Konstantinos, what would be your Facebook ads approach in smaller countries with 2-3 million population? I know broad targeting is the goal, but what would be your campaign structure? Would you still use crazy method and multiple campaigns, or is it best to stick to one campaign, one ad set, and multiple creatives? I'm doing also my English lesson, so I'm trying to fix things that I'm saying. So, multiple creatives. The thing is that if we are talking about such a small country, I would start with Advanced Plus because it's a very small potential reach. Most probably Advanced Plus has to work. If your product and the offer and everything is good, it has to work. If it doesn't work, I guess go to interest and try to move your way up to broad. But I would be super suspicious if it wasn't going to work with Advanced Plus here. But still, you can test Advanced Plus. You can test interest and see which one is getting. If you're getting the same CPM, for example, that means that you have a problem if you're not selling. If not, focus to interest and then go to broad targeting. But eventually you will go to broad targeting, and in that case you will go much faster to the broad targeting. Now, when it comes to structure, for sure I would focus on, because there is nothing to do here, not even lookalikes or something else, so that you can focus in different strategies. I would use Advantage Plus, and I would try to sell with different creatives, even the same product, but also will try to sell multiple products, because there's no other way over here to scale other than that. Next one. Great video. Thank you very much. How would you recommend testing if interest or broad performs better? Oh, he's asking between broad. Okay. Would this be in CBO, for example, with one broad ad set and 2 interest ad sets, or an ABO campaign? Thank you. No, it would be actually 2 different campaigns. I would try, first of all, to see if broad is working with Advantage Plus. If it's working, then fine. But I will also try to do a CBO campaign with ad sets that they have different interests. And I will try to see what kind of CPM they have and how they interact. And that's how I would do it. I wouldn't do it in the same campaign. There's no point of adding a broad targeting with an interest targeting ad set in the same campaign, because the broad targeting is going to take most of the budget in the CBO. So it's not a proper test. A proper test here would be, if you want to test it with CBO, you can do broad, but I would give a little bit more push to the broad targeting to see if it's working, because it's more efficient to work with broad targeting with an Advantage Plus, because Advantage Plus, most of the time, it has better results as a broad audience comparing to a CBO broad targeting, even as a crazy method. It has lower CPMs, and this is helping it having better results. Not always, but most of the time. So, 2 different campaigns, as I said. Next one. Hi, first of all, I want to thank you for all your content. Thank you very much. I'm watching several of your videos every day, and I've noticed that I've become more inclined to analyze advertising opportunities rather than simply restarting campaigns tactlessly. I'm even thinking about taking notes on specific important points to better organize everything while still cultivating the habit of testing everything and seeing how specific things work on my account with my Pixel. Yesterday, I watched your video on the crazy method Advanced Plus, which was posted 10 months ago. I would like to clarify whether if you currently experience the crazy method Advanced Plus still works well. Whether in your current experience, yes, still works well. Have you managed to solve the mystery of whether Advanced Plus optimizes campaigns differently, creating its own hot pocket in each creative? First of all, the hot pockets are being formed on the ad level, okay? We know that. My point of view was, what I couldn't understand on that video and I was trying to explain was why in a CBO campaign we have, it's better to optimize on the asset level, because you can go and you can optimize also on the ad level, but the ads are not behaving in the same way that they behave in an Advanced Plus campaign. You don't see these dominant ads and all of that. So why it was optimizing like this as an Advanced Plus if something is different? I don't know. I guess it's a different structure of campaign. This is why they have different optimization, because the optimization of CBO campaign is a little bit different from the optimization of Advanced Plus campaign on the ad level. We have much more strong dominant ads. We don't see the distribution of the budget among the ads in the way that we see in other campaigns and so on. I guess it's a different structure. I don't know how else to explain it. I'm just telling you how I perceive it as a person that is actually optimizing. What else? If Advanced Plus Crazy Method is working, it's not my favorite. Look, guys, whatever I'm posting on the channel is just stimulation for new ideas. For example, I have a specific case that Advantage Plus Crazy Method worked very well in another account while other things were not working. The reason that I'm posting all of this is so that you can test them and you can see what is going to work for you. And I'm actually happy that a lot of people, they are testing a lot of things. The point is that maybe some of these things are not going to work. I'm fine with it, okay? I'm not saying that everything that I teach or show, they're going to work, okay? But it's not my favorite. I'm going to do it if I run out of ideas, for example, and I want to try something else. Or maybe with a catalog, for example, if it's the only thing that I can use and I don't have creatives because the owner is not giving me creatives, things like that. But yes, it's working. In several other accounts, it's working. I think there is a message later that there is a person that talks about how well this worked for him. But I don't remember it now. Was it? Oh, it's the messages that I didn't put. So I got some messages. Let's try to find them here. Sorry, guys, we're going to make this interactive, okay? Let me try to find it here. Because I didn't put these messages because... because I didn't want to look like I'm flexing or anything. I have a lot of positive messages, guys, from you, and sometimes I don't include them so that it's not going to look like I'm trying to convince people of how good are these things. No, this is his other message. And this is... So let's see what he says. So there's another person, not this person. He says, "Hi Konstantinos, solid content as usual. As mentioned previously, February's cost dips has been great for us. and a great time to get a bit assertive with our acquisition before cutting back if needed later on as we approach US elections and such. Advanced plus crazy method is something Jump started last week with our best performing ad for a specific subset of our products and showing great results for winning creative. So you see, there might be someone else who is talking about Advanced Plus crazy method, which didn't have good results, you know. Showing great results for winning creative, among other of your methods we have employed. Speaking of catalog ads for larger inventories or varying categories, all within the same niche, our first ever Advanced Plus, which is now a few months old, runs all-in-one catalog shopping ad with dynamic setting to show products someone has shown interest in. No bid cap, I feel it snags sales from people that have initiated their experience with us from another ad, say our winning creatives running in another campaign. However, ROAS has generally been higher, similar to other great performing assets or campaigns, and we rely on increasing AOV. Perhaps catalog is useful in our case, especially for retargeting. Would love to see some more on this catalog style ads in different use case if you get the chance. Sorry for the long spiel. So I'm not showing these things on the podcast because it might look like I'm trying to show, you know, very good. But since we have the discussion with Advantage Plus crazy method, well, there is a person which is using it and they have very good results. So that's it. So this wasn't a question from them, so I didn't include it in the podcast. Another question regarding Advanced Plus. In your opinion, how effective is to use a carousel creative with 9 images of different products, adding a link to specific products in my store when the image is clicked? I'm not against it at all. I think it's a very good way of running ads. I really like carousel ads. Just be careful in the way that you're going to use them, because if you use carousel ads, for example, with normal image ads, most probably the carousel ads are going to take all the budget. So if you use them in an Advanced Plus campaign, be careful to use only carousel, for example, because people are scrolling like this in the carousels, this is an interaction. So Facebook perceives this as engagement. So it's going to favor those ads more than a single image. Okay, so use them, but use them with similar ads that are not going to take all of the budget from other creatives that are not going to be tested properly. Hi Konstantinos, I have watched most of your videos on Facebook ads and noticed that most of your strategies uses direct conversion for top of funnel and retargeting. Yeah, of course. However, I tested this approach and felt that the ROAS was quite low due to high CPA for using only conversion campaign. Do you see how this person, for example, says that I have used conversion ads while you talk about conversion ads, they didn't work well? That's totally fine. Let's see though. I have an answer, but I will say it at the end. For using only conversion campaign, for a beauty brand that is completely new to market, would you recommend that I do a brand awareness campaign instead and retarget engaged audience with a conversion campaign so that they could improve their ROAS? Your ROAS is not going to improve. Your ROAS is going to get even worse. Now, for me, it's totally fine when you start with a new brand and a new pixel and a new everything to have higher cost per acquisition when you're running conversion ads. But it is the only efficient way to train your pixel. You need to start running conversion ads, having higher CPA. And at the end of the day, what is going to happen is that are going to start getting better, having better results. Also, running conversion ads, how? With interests. Did you try to run broad targeting? Did you try to run other things? Have you tried to compare CPMs? The more you're doing conversion ads, the more you're going to get more data with your pixel, which is going to get you closer to your target. On the other hand, over here, doing brand awareness and then retargeting and all of that, this is going to be junk traffic that is never going to actually convert. You're not Coca-Cola to do brand awareness ads. And even if you do, the amount of money that you're going to spend is not going to make you recognizable. So just focus on conversion ads, guys. And as I said earlier, I'm going to make a video which is proving that with a new Pixel and how I trained the Pixel for the same product in another country which had much better results comparing doing link clicks or conversion or brand awareness or engagement ads. Next one. Hi, Konstantinos. I have a customer list for my beauty products that aren't captured by my Pixel. Okay. But mostly from my distributing partners, customer list of my products. From your video, you mentioned that even if you have an email list of 6,000 people, you cannot expect it to work because the products, pricing, etc. are different. If you have an email list from 6,000 people from another company and you want to use that in order to advertise for your own company, yeah, it doesn't mean that necessarily it's going to work, even if it's on the same niche or if you're selling the same products. So does it mean that I have to separate my customer list according to the products, even though they're from the same brand? For example, create a lookalike customer list for lipstick buyers and do an ad set. Ad just for lipstick audience, then create another customer list from face powder buyers and do an ad set ad just for the face powder audience. You could do that, but not with such a small list. I think that the list is very small. I have seen lists working, but to be honest with you, they were big lists. And I have seen also lists coming from another company to another company working pretty well. But I think that if we talk about a 6,000 people email list, this is nothing, okay? Unless if it is such a good list with all of these people bought, you know, being good customers and all of that, and it's going to work. In such a small list, I wouldn't do the segmentation. I will try to do lookalikes with all the list because I believe that all of these 6,000 people are not going to be populated within Facebook. Next one. Hey, great video. I wondered if when setting up campaigns initially, you segment campaigns by static and video and then also by product type. For example, one static campaign with trainers, one video campaign with trainers, one static campaign with trousers, one video campaign with trousers and test. I tend not to mix static and video within campaigns and was wondering if you do these two things. 100%. The reason that you're not doing it is because you have seen crazy things happening when you're mixing them. Also, the reason that you're not mixing products together, you can mix them as long as they have the same average order value. If they have different average order value, that means that you don't have concrete numbers to know how to optimize your campaign. So that being said, having different campaigns for videos and different campaigns for images, it's totally correct and totally fine. Because videos have better engagement because of the 3 seconds autoplay, which are considered engagement. So Facebook is pushing them more, giving them more budget. So when you add videos with images together, basically what is happening is that videos are going to take more budget in a campaign compared to the images, and images are not going to be tested properly. But this doesn't mean that images cannot sell. Next one. My testing has shown that it is bad compared to old school broad. It seems to be a way to force people to go broad. He's talking about the Advantage Plus audience, which is the new feature that we have. And kind of have the same opinion. I have tested broad with Advantage Plus audience and broad with the traditional setting. And I can tell you that the Advanced Plus audience wasn't working well. But I have tested lookalikes with interest with Advanced Plus audience and it worked pretty well. So there are no bad settings. It's just the way that we are using them. Hi, Konstantinos. I have a separate campaign that is retargeting warm audience, middle funnel, bottom funnel. Should I exclude this retargeting audience in the prospecting campaigns? Do you think it's recommended? It depends. Do you have repeated customers? If you have repeated customers, it doesn't matter if your cold traffic campaign is going to steal a sale. If it's going to steal a sale, which is going to be used as data to find more people, then it's totally fine. At the end of the day, think of it. If you don't have repeated customers, exclude the people who bought everywhere. But if you are having a campaign which is getting as a first sale, okay, one it steals one sale from retargeting and gets the first sale, which is Costantinos, which is a loyal customer for 2 years for the brand, buying t-shirts all the time, blah blah blah. This is the best person that you want. That you want to target and convert first in order to create your ideal hot pocket of the ideal client that you want for your cold traffic audience. I hope that that makes sense. So it's better to use traditional interest option or an interest with Advantage Plus audience. I'm kind of divided on that. To be honest with you, I think that Advantage Plus audience with interest is going to be massive in the next months. It's going to work pretty well because I think that it's going to work like the old button that we used to have for expand button audience. For sure, right now tested. You know, most of the things when they are launched by Facebook, they're not working very well, but we need to keep an eye on them. And by the time they're improving. So I think that this thing is going to improve. Don't forget, for example, that some years ago, CBO campaigns were not working well in the first 6 months. They were bad. And now they're just winning any ABO campaign. It's almost impossible to win a CBO campaign with an ABO. Next one. Hi, my Advantage Plus campaign, which was profitable for 7 days, has now been breaking even for 3 consecutive days. I have 5 creatives in this campaign, but the entire budget is allocated to one. As an optimization strategy, should I turn off the creative that's having 99% of the budget all this time, or would it be better to simply restart the campaign? I think that he sent it another message telling me that he actually closed the campaign. Let's see again. Let's make it interactive, guys. I think that he sent me another message telling me that after all, he closed the campaign. But where can I find him? Let me see. Okay, there it is. Okay. So he's writing that, and my opinion over here, without reading this, is he's talking about 3 consecutive days, I have bad results, it was probably for 7 days. My opinion is that you should keep it more, because now that it's a bad period, if you close this campaign, you might not be able to recover it. And I'm explaining more. So, in a bad period, when you're going to have bad results, whatever you're going to do, it's going to be bad. And if you start a new campaign, it's not going to work well. If you start something new, if you do new ads all the time, again and again and again, eventually they are going to work when this campaign that you want to close, it was going to work anyway. So what you're doing is that you're losing campaign, you're just spending on another campaign that it's new, which is not going to work, and most probably this campaign was going to recover and you could continue with this one which has data, and the new one is going to work, and most probably because you would have done several things here and there, you wouldn't know if it worked because it worked for all the ad accounts or because it worked for the change that you have done. Most of the times it's working because it worked for all the ad accounts. Now, for the question that you have here, if you should close the ad or the ads that's taking the majority of the budget, it depends. If the majority of the budget goes to an ad that it's not actually having good results, then yes, you have closed it. You have two ways you can close it. You have two ways to optimize. Either you're going to lower the budget by just closing also ads, or you're going to close ads and you're going to start seeing now the new budget that is being allocated to other ads, if it's working or not. But for me, the fact that it was working for 7 days and then for 3 days, it's breaking even. It's not losing money, it's breaking even. That means that you should leave it because you don't know if it's going to recover. Now, he says, after here, Apparently, we're not going to post those because I'm not going to give you print screens for this. He says, "Hi, Konstantinos. After 7 days of successful campaign performance, followed by 4 days of poor results, 2 days with zero and 2 days with negative results, how much did you lose? In the 7 days, are you still profitable? Maybe you are. After that, I tried to make improvements by changing creatives." This is where all the game is, guys. This person came to the channel recently, and we're having discussions with the comments and stuff. I can understand that it's inexperienced, but he's trying, okay? Now, he says, "I post the campaign. After that, I try to make improvements by changing creatives. First mistake is that you post the campaign. You shouldn't kill this campaign. This campaign wasn't about killing it. I have a video which I'm proving that for 10 days in September, I had very bad results across my accounts. I didn't do anything. And in the whole month, I was still profitable." So showing character, not being afraid, not starting making a change here, 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 which is ruining all of your results. That's very important, because Facebook ads is also stability. Okay. And if you're having a campaign, here is not a campaign for a big period, it's only 7 days. But if your ad account, for example, is new, maybe it's important for you to keep the campaign. So let's see what he did. "After that, I tried to make improvement by changing creatives and tweaking certain aspects of the website. Because in the successful campaign, the CTR was 1.09, but low CPC. And I thought that introducing new creatives could improve this." Yeah, you know, after having bad results for some days, if you're not experienced, you start getting paranoid. My biggest advice to you guys is close the PC and go for a walk. Okay? Go for a walk. Go outside. Go have drinks. Go do whatever you want. Okay? Just don't stay in front of the PC, refreshing, looking and all of that, because this is going to make you take bad decisions. "However, for the past 3 days, the relaunch campaigns have not shown any positive results." Of course they haven't. "In your opinion, in such cases, is it better to start an entirely an identical campaign to the previous successful one that later started delivering less profitable results? And if yes, does this also apply to the campaign budget?" My answer to you is not to close the first one. This was not a campaign that you should have closed, because you didn't go negative in the total campaign. And you could support it. By supporting it, when the bad period was going to end, you were going to get out of it much more powerful, okay, with a campaign that was going to... Having a campaign which is passing a bad period then makes it more resilient, because it has more comment and all of that, and engagement. "Should the budget remain similar to what the campaign was initially successful with, or can it be increased? I understand your principle that if something is working, it's better not to touch it. But in this situation, I thought I could improve something to increase the chances of the campaign running longer. However, it seems I may have miscalculated." Basically, you killed your campaign. That's the truth. And this is something which is fine, because by doing this mistake, I hope not again and again, but by doing this mistake, you do realize that things that are working, someone might come and say here, but it wasn't working. It was working in the average results. I'm pretty sure that he was positive. Now, if you're losing $1,000 every day and you cannot be able to withstand it, okay, then close the campaign, I guess. This is the brutal world, and the competition or the CPMs are killing you. But in this situation, in the way that you describe it, I feel like you could have been a little bit more flexible, waiting for some good results and watching a little bit more what kind of results you are having in average. That's all with that. I really like these two questions that we read, also comments that they came later, because they show the history. Next one. "I want to buy your book, but I noticed it's from 2021. Will you release a new version?" The answer is no. I was thinking of writing one book which was going to be much more general, like my Facebook ads philosophy, you know, talking about hot pockets, talking about general topics. But to be honest with you, it's very difficult to write right now a book because of time, because of my mood. Writing a book, it's not about being time consuming, but after writing one chapter or two, you feel like you are an empty box that you gave everything. So I don't know if I'm in the psychological state to write now another book, but what I can tell you is that, first of all, the book is for free. You can go and you can take it from Kindle Unlimited. You can take it from there for free. Secondly, the book is not outdated in terms of teaching you a philosophy about Facebook ads. You can read it and it's going to be relevant even 10 years from now, because the philosophy about Facebook ads is not going to change. So yes, you can read the book. Then he says, I told him the book is about Facebook philosophy. You can still learn a lot from it. Yes, some things inside that are going to be outdated, okay? But you can still learn a lot from it. Also, another thing which is good with the book is that you can see how things were done before and how things are being done now, which is helping you a lot understand more the algorithm and how it's working and how it's actually progressing, at least for me. I told him not to buy. There's a free version. And he says, I will buy it. I want to support you somehow. I learn a lot from you. To be honest with you, man, you should not feel like you are obliged to buy something just to give me money. It's better to spend this money on Facebook to learn. Okay. You have a free version with Facebook. Now, if you are a guy that likes to read books like me with a physical product, okay, I cannot make it for free. But I have the Kindle version so that everyone can read it for free. But on the other hand, I think that if you want to spend money, you should spend them, sadly, on Facebook, doing mistakes and learning there. So it would be more efficient if you spend them there, instead of spending them to me. So when you first make the campaign, and just to be more clear, if you have $500 and you are thinking of buying my course or spending them on Facebook, I would strongly support you to spend them on Facebook and not into my course. As I said, you can learn a lot of things from my videos. The course is for an extra step and going much deeper. It's not for basic stuff. So you will learn more by just spending the $500 on Facebook instead of buying the course. The course is going to help you go a step further and scaling more. But if we put them in a scale, I think that spending $500 on Facebook is going to teach you more from any course out there. You know, spending $500 or taking a course without doing any ads on the platform, Facebook spend is going to give you more, okay? You're going to learn more things. You're going to have the fear. You're going to feel the feelings. You're going to gamble a little bit. It's not going to pay out. All of these things that you can do with $500 comparing to buying any course, not mine, any course, I think it's going to be a bigger experience for you. Next one. So when you first make the campaign, do you just have one ad set with a stack lookalikes, or do you do the crazy method from the beginning with multiple copies of the stack LLA ad sets? Yeah, when I do, most of the times when I do stack lookalikes in another account, I know that the crazy method is working there. I have done again crazy method maybe with an interest or broad targeting and it worked. I have seen what kind of budgets, and then I'm just applying the stack lookalikes there. Immediately on a crazy method. I have never done a single ad stack lookalikes to see if it's working so that I can do crazy method. Most of the times it's the third or fourth or fifth crazy method that I will do in another account after I have tested with other things. At my budget, I usually do 3 ad sets per campaign. Would I do 3 of the stacked LLA ad sets? Currently, I usually do LLA ad set, interest ad set, and third one, depending on the product needs. Yes, this is what you're going to do. If you have found an optimal way of having a CBO campaign, by the way, you don't mention here if it's a CBO. Yeah, so I'm afraid that you're talking about ABO. There's no crazy method stack lookalikes with ABO. You need to do CBO. So if you have found, because I know this specific structure over here is for normal one campaign structure ad accounts and so on. So if you want to use it, You have to use it with a CBO campaign and use whatever is working for you. If you have done CBOs with 205 assets and it's working and you're optimizing well, do that. Whatever you have seen that's working for you in a CBO. Next one. Hi, Konstantinos. Great content. Keep it up. Thank you. So I'm running a dropshipping store and have started testing and somebody recommended using cost caps in my campaigns. What is your opinion on cost caps? Cost caps are very good. They're extremely volatile. So volatile in terms of the results. So you might get 5 ROAS, you might get 1 ROAS, for example, and stuff. You cannot control it. And you cannot control also the budget. So you have to put 1,000 and maybe it's going to spend 100. Maybe it's going to spend 800 with bad results. You need to monitor them closely. They're extremely volatile. It's not a style of campaign that you can actually rely on. It's a little bit problematic. And the other thing is that it's not a campaign that you can have it on the side as an extra budget and extra spend and all of that and play with it. I'm going to make a dedicated video about it. Soon I'm going to show you in another account how you use it, what kind of spend it has and all of that. But it's not the campaign that... It's a campaign that it can help you scale, but not in a calculated way. It's like an extreme volatile campaign on the side that you have to watch and be careful too. Basically, if you want to spend 3K, you cannot 3K per day, you cannot rely in cost caps because you don't know how much they're going to spend. But if you spend 3K on your own and you just have some cost cap campaigns on the side spending the extra amount, that's totally fine. You can play with that. And maybe one day you can spend, instead of 3K, 5K because of the cost caps. These things are happening, but you cannot rely on how much you're going to spend on the month calculating from cost cap campaigns. Hey, I have a quick question. If I'm running lead gen, landing page funnel, does running a traffic campaign optimized for click-through help with my lead gen campaign that's optimized for conversion sign up? Running traffic campaigns in any account that is not a blog or something else that just needs traffic doesn't make any sense. It's going to be more expensive and nobody's going to convert from this traffic campaign. It's going to be cheaper. You're going to be happy that you see a lot of visitors on your site, but they're not going to convert. There are rare cases that traffic campaigns are converting, and most of the time it's on smaller countries where Facebook is not able to just find junk traffic, and it's also giving you inside junk traffic, also normal conversion accounts, people that they're going to convert, I mean. On the other hand here, whatever we say about e-commerce, it also applies to lead gen. And in this case, you're having a conversion event, which is for signups. So I wouldn't do traffic campaigns. I would just try to do immediately conversion campaigns with signups. Now, let's go to the last comment. It's coming from Isabel. So Isabel it's a person that is posting here and there in the group and stuff. And I was very happy because I was reading this. The reason that I'm putting this is not just to, you know, take credibility from Isabel that the things that we say here work, but because I want you to understand that the most important thing for all of you that you're watching the videos is that, okay, I'm watching this and that and that, and I'm not telling you to follow me blindly. Just see what is working for your ad account, for your business, or the different businesses that you manage, and make your own strategy. And this is exactly what Isabel did. So look at it. I'm so excited with the improvement of my campaign's revenue, and I just wanted to share what made it for the better for me. So it may seem super obvious for most people for scaling. I used to try new audiences and new creatives. When I discovered the crazy method not too long ago, I tested it. It worked so well, and I duplicated multiple times an exact same campaign. The thing is, it worked at first because the ROAS was great, but then I realized that if with 200 a day, my ROAS was 1.85, just duplicating as it is, to 300, 400 with the crazy method and have a total of 500 with these three campaigns running it, it would magically keep my ROAS the same or even make it better. I could duplicate as if only if the ROAS is very good and there is room to scale. And as Konstantinos told me. Oh, thank you. So I tried with different similar audiences, but it still didn't work. I then read a comment of Konstantinos suggesting to mainly scale by duplicating, but with new creatives. Now I only keep working, I keep a working interest that is broad, for example, photographer, and I simply create new creatives and launch new campaigns with these new creatives using only this interest or completely broad if that works for you. With that for now, I'm able to maintain my ROAS by scaling slowly. I have three crazy method campaigns and then all have three, four creatives in it and they're all different. I realized that if I wanted to scale by trying photography instead of photographers, it treats the same people because they belong to both interest groups. So they are not interesting in the creative anymore at fatigue, but by scaling with creatives only. Of course, using the crazy method. That's where all the difference is made. Konstantinos, does it make sense? Also, maybe it's super obvious, and that's that I'm just sleep deprived with my child law. But the happy news is that my ads are finally stable for now. Now, why this message is so important? Because this message, Isabel, this message summarizes everything. So, what did Isabel do? She was watching a comment from Konstantinos. She was applying it. Then she was seeing what was working for her, and eventually she made her own strategy. Okay, she took a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. Then she has seen that by just scaling, because that's why I'm saying don't abuse the crazy method, don't try to do another campaign. Okay, she realized that on her own because she was getting bad results after a point. So then she saw another comment of mine, another video of mine, and all of that. And then by just compiling all of that and by just doing ads and working with her ad account, she found one method which is concrete and it's working, and she can follow it like a blueprint. Now, if we didn't teach Facebook ads in that way, because I'm not saying that all of you should use crazy method. I'm saying that you should try it. You should see if it's working for you. If it's not working, it's totally fine. We saw another 50 things on the channel to test. If it's working, then try to do another thing, finding your own blueprint. Because when you are lazy and you're trying to just find other people to show you blueprints, this is why I don't understand why it's looking really ideal for some people to just follow a blueprint for someone else without thinking that maybe this is not going to work for their business, which is different. I just don't get this mentality of, okay, I'm just going to follow this guy because he has a pattern and a blueprint. No, you shouldn't follow if this guy has just one blueprint that he says that applies everywhere. Because this is not the point. The point is for him to have another 50 or 60 or 70 different strategies so that you can start testing all of them and making a Frankenstein strategy of yours. Okay? And these guys here summarizes all of it. Because Isabel has been here for months and I have seen her different comments and how she was progressing. And I can tell you that I'm very happy with this outcome, because even if she comes and tells me in this message that crazy method didn't work for me, it's totally fine. It can be another thing. But at the end of the day, we deeply analyze things here in a technical level so that everyone can be able to create their own strategy eventually. That's my goal with the channel. All of you to create that you want to do Facebook ads, of course, to create your own strategy eventually and be able to follow it without being afraid of changes and all of that. Because Isabel now is using a strategy. Maybe in 6 months this strategy is not going to work, but she's going to be able, through the knowledge that she has and all of these things that she understood during the process, to find another method. And another method and another method. For me, this is very obvious, because going from one ad account to the other, from another client to another client, I'm not doing the same things. I'm just testing different things, and whatever is working, I just try to use it again and again, and I just try to see. If all of them are working, perfect. I'm going to scale even more. But I'm not doing that. So how can I expect from others just to follow a blueprint for all of that? It doesn't make any sense. Okay, so that's all I had for you. I'm very happy actually for your comments and stuff. I get many more comments than this. I'm just not posting them because, you know, there's no point of saying, hey, Konstantinos, thank you very much. You helped me a lot and all of that. But this message really worth it. Worth it because you could see the whole journey inside. Okay. Now, guys, most probably this is going to be the last Freelancer Diaries because I don't have many more. I stopped being so active on Upwork because it doesn't have good quality anymore, and the bidding system is something that I don't like, and I don't have the time to bother with it. I'm just going to stick with the leads that I'm getting from YouTube. Upwork is strange right now. I don't know. It doesn't give good leads, and it's full of agencies that they're looking for people to work with, and I don't work with agencies. So anyway, last one. Help us find winning dropshipping products. Of course, it's from a dropshipper. All the hustlers, 20 years old kiddos that they want to make money and drive Lambos in Dubai. Hi Upworkers, we're in need of someone to help us find our next winning product. While this position is not full-time at this time, if you find us true winning products, then this will become a full-time position. So I'm just thinking over here, if someone is finding winning products, first of all, why it would work for someone else? Secondly, if someone is finding winning products, why he would want to limit the... why this person should limit their self by just working full-time somewhere. Maybe I'm the one who's thinking wrong here. We need someone who has experience finding proven winning products that we can dropship. As we said before, if you can help us finding winning products, then this will become a full-time position. I really like how they're using the full-time position to convince people to work with them. Like, these people are desperate, you know. We are open to most products. Their only requirements are that the products have wow factor or scalability, and that the best product be brandable if possible. We look forward to speaking with you. Why I'm putting this? So it's really funny how some people, you know, I feel like this post is like Christopher Columbus is speaking with Native Americans, for example, you know. It's saying an eclipse is going to happen and I want you to bring me all of your silver and gold. And the fact that it's talking like this, obviously it's being addressed to people from India or Pakistan or whatever. And you do understand why I'm going to stop posting on Upwork, because it's such low quality right now and it doesn't have good companies anymore. So trying to convince people that they have people like me who have actual skills, and I have companies that I'm working with and all of that. If someone talks to me about full time, I'm ready to jump off the balcony, for example. If someone puts a head into my head and tells, you're going to work full time for me, I'm going to pull the trigger on my own. Okay. So telling to people that you can work for full time if you do this and that, you're actually going to attract the worst employees on the whole market. People who want to work for full time for one person is because they are not sure of their skills. So now, okay, I have seen people working full time being extremely good employees and all of that. I'm not saying that, but I'm talking about this situation over here that we have people that are actually doing something like finding products and all of that, that they can work with a lot of people. Okay. So if someone wants to do this full time for someone else, either he has to get paid a lot, or it has to be a person that basically is not secure about their skill set and they just want to settle down with a business. Now, there are other businesses that they need more time, like secretaries, accountants, a lot of other things, VAs, call center, and all of that. This is good for them to be full time because that means that they know that they're going to work for one thing. But we're talking here about people doing Facebook ads, Google ads. The people that they're going to work and have these positions for people or sourcing products, the people who are going to work for only one person means that they are the worst employees on this specific niche because they are afraid of not having a job in the next month because of the quality of the job that they give. Anyway, that's all I had for you for today. I hope you like the podcast. I love the messages of love and hearing about your successes. We read today two messages like that. And it's still a good month. I don't think it's a bad month. Guys, be a little bit more patient with your campaigns. They're going to recover, okay? Don't be afraid so easily. And I will see you guys on the next podcast. This was the Facebook Ads Breaking News Podcast. Like it or not, it is what it is.